This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, sort of. Tim and Anya, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Wanted to get that out there really quickly because I'm telling you what, we're going to jam up the lines tonight on you because we're bringing, you know, we'll do a little week in review, but man, the topic tonight, too much that we can't just leave it sit out there. In fact, we started talking about it yesterday at the end of the show, the Ten Commandments. And no, I'm not talking about Yul Brynner and the parting of the Red Sea. That movie that usually comes out, you know, sometime around the, you know when it comes out or when it used to come out. But anyway, Busted Pencils, you know what, though? We are sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Okay, Anya, so here it is on Friday, and we're one day in to the Ten Commandments being required in the state of Louisiana, have them hanging in the classrooms. The first, before we get into, poking fun or enjoying this, is how much money did they allocate for all the printing and all of the frames and all of the nails that are going to go into every single classroom in the state of Louisiana to hang these darn things? You think about these things and unfunded mandates. So I can just see, you know, schools, and they'll probably fall on the principals, be like, well, you know, take it out of your operating budget. And like, well, but we didn't budget for 32 nails. We didn't have, I guess we can go to, you know, the Goodwill, because you could sometimes buy some of the, you know, you go in and you buy old pictures, old paintings, and then you reuse the frame. You know, so maybe we can go in there and, you know, give a good push out. But yeah, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The Ten Commandments required, no debating this. Throw it out there right now. Thoughts, 855-752-4842. One question is this, and this is a serious question, going to make schools better? What do you mean by better, Tim? I don't know. Will the Ten Commandments improve academic performance? I don't know. You know, will the Ten Commandments reduce students borrowing each other's homework? I don't know. Anya, you're laughing.
Well, I'm thinking about the Ten Commandments. I used to be a Jewish Sunday school teacher, so those do come up for us. That's in our part of the book. And it's just interesting because while the Ten Commandments are, yeah, there's very good rules in there. Do not steal. Don't cheat. Mm. Don't lie. Bearing false witness can mean a lot of things, but mainly don't say things that you didn't actually see. But and yet there, it's just not really a rubric for a classroom. The first commandment, as we're reminded in a very memorable opening scene in The West Wing from back in the 90s, early 2000s, is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no God over me. And of course, President Bartlett comes in and says that. It's a really good piece of writing for your main character, the president, to come in saying, I am the Lord your God. But I remember there being a little something called the separation of church and state. And that includes like church, synagogue, mosque, and state building, courthouse, public school. There's things on the Ten Commandments that just frankly don't apply to all students. As soon as you have a student who's polytheistic, that very first rule no longer is applicable to them, while the rest are good suggestions on how to live your life. This is kind of crazy.
Well, you just made me think about that, though, too. Are they up? Because they're, I can now, so I'm a classroom teacher, going back to school in the fall. I usually need to create my classroom rules. We don't need classroom rules anymore in Louisiana because the Ten Commandments
apparently,
are up there.
Right.
You know, oh, man, saving behavior. We got Mark, though. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, I know you want some Ten Commandments. What's happening, brother?
I do not want to see the Ten Commandments in the classrooms. It's kind of interesting. I've been doing some reading, you know, historical reading on this whole thing that I've smelled coming for a while. And I was kind of looking up some of the historical things, like historical figures like Roger Williams, and I brought this up before, who was one of the co-founders of the Baptist Church, welcomed. He promoted the idea of separation of church and state back in the 17th century, a full century before our Declaration of Independence or our Constitution. And he maintained that the first table of the Ten Commandments, which are apparently, and I inferred it before I confirmed it, are the first four commandments, which deals, you know, the state should have no business enforcing any of those because it maintains, you know, with this, the state maintaining the enforcing the first four commandments, which are strictly religious, and the other ones are more or less, you know,
right,
societal issues at all. And you know, Anya can correct me if I'm wrong there. That and the other thing that galls me is that I can remember this is from sixth grade. I think we learned about the Code of Hammurabi that actually predated, you know, the Ten Commandments by, you know, several hundred years. That they say, well, that was the first written law. Well, no, it wasn't. And apparently, further reading has told me that it could be Sumner, actually, which preceded Babylon in Hammurabi, pardon me for the pronunciation, may have actually had a written code as well that has been lost, you know, to the sands of time. But I mean, that there has been written law in the past that, and they're probably pretty similar code. That the one provision in written law, actually in written law, which was a welcome, I've heard this, I'm kind of paraphrasing what I had read in the past. It was, you know, even though the law was pretty harsh, it was actually a guarantee for people that you couldn't have some arbitrary decisions on the law once you had a written law down.
Mark, I tell you what, right there, though, making me think the history lesson here, and this is the part that you get really confusing here. We started talking about this last night, okay? It invites a conversation then in the classroom. And as we were talking to Nancy Flanagan yesterday, I mean, we already don't want teachers bringing up current events. Well, how more current can you get than somebody coming in and slapping the Ten Commandments up on your wall and the teacher saying, hey, don't look at that because we're not going to talk about those because I'm under strict orders not to talk about current events. So these are the kind of silly things that are happening out there. 855-752-4842. Yeah, the Ten Commandments. You know, if you're just waking up, climbing out from under a rock, or, you know, doing whatever it is that you're doing, the Ten Commandments are now required to be posted in every classroom in the state of Louisiana. Public school classrooms required there. Wonder if we could go into, like, you know, Christian schools and check and see if theirs are up or not, or if they're probably not included, because anytime there's a law that requires public schools to do anything, private schools never have to have those done. What about schools in Louisiana that are taking voucher money? Maybe, I guess, those voucher schools should be required. And what if you're a voucher school? This is all the complicated stuff, Anya.
Well, and I'll complicate
what if you're
it
a voucher?
Further. Oh, go ahead. You
go.
Complicate
yeah.
it. You complicate
no,
it
no,
with your
no.
vouchers.
Well, I just say the with a voucher, and what if you're a voucher school and you're getting vouchers and you're not a Christian school, but you're a Muslim school, which should be allowed if vouchers are allowed to be given for any religious school. Does that then, I mean, there's just so much of a mess entanglement here, but I just, you know, my thought with Mark though is that it is a great lesson potentially, but I have a feeling we're not going to be allowed to teach it. you were saying.
Well, and that's my exact point. I think Mark made me realize something. I kind of forgot one of, this is going to sound really bad for a Jewish educator, I forgot one of the Ten Commandments was honor the Sabbath day. And it's just occurred to me, okay, Louisiana schools have now posted this rule. You will honor the Sabbath day. Are Louisiana schools aware that the Sabbath day, which is on the Jewish calendar, we're a lunar calendar, our days begin at sundown, which means, and this is true in Israel, this is true in private Jewish schools as well, in seasons and in places where the sun goes down before the school day is out, the kids get to leave. If you live in Alaska and it's dark and you need to observe the Sabbath, if the sun goes down at 2, you're actually you're leaving at 1 because you need time to get home and take care of dinner because you can't cook. So Louisiana schools, quick question, do kids get off Friday when the sun goes down now? And if that's before the end of the school year, before the end of school day, how are you going to handle it? And it's exactly what you said, Tim. It gets complex as soon as you try to enforce the real stuff, and they're not going to do the real stuff.
And that's exactly what's going to not happen is that these are going to purely be ornaments hanging up in the classroom. And the whole idea that this is going to, usher some kind of movement towards morality in the classrooms. Well, it's not, because, we can't dig into even teaching that content, because that content would be considered controversial, uncomfortable. It might make some of my students feel like, well, and as you just said, though, the whole idea, are the Ten Commandments, are we talking about the ancient Hebrew ones?
Right.
The ones that got translated into Greek, that then got translated into Aramaic, that then got translated into, some stuff that my friends hang out in Pittsburgh, talk Pittsburghese, the Pittsburghese rendition of the Ten Commandments. Yo, man, you don't do that crap.
Use John's, better not be stealing stuff, that kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah, Yun's guys going downtown. You can't go downtown like that, Yun's guys. It's crazy. 855-752-4842. Is there anything we could do to fix this? Can we make it better? Can we, dig into this? I don't know. I think there are some things, though. If anybody checked out, though, we're going to come back with a great clip to kind of illustrate how incredibly ridiculous this is. Because if you wanted to use it as a model of behavior, boy, we don't have that many people who use those commandments as good models. And we'll be more. There's going to be more of that when we get back. Busted Pencils right after the break. Lies that hide the truth. I won't sweat one more drop for you. Hey, it's Friday. You can howl here. We forgot about that too. Anya, Busted Pencils, TGIFBP or TGIBP. Yeah, I know.
It's TGIBPF. There we are.
BPF. Yes. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. And you know what, though? We're smashing through the facade of separation between church and state. Louisiana just decided to slap the Ten Commandments on every classroom wall. Yeah, you heard that right. We're talking about indoctrination, constitutional violations, and the slippery slope of mixing religion with education. And with that, I think we've got L.A. Tom on the line. I'm going to jump to L.A. Tom before we play that clip, because I know L.A. Tom's got something awesome to say. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, Tom. Well, here's what I'd like to say is that all these people that are talking about the Ten Commandments, maybe they should try following them first. And maybe they should put them up in their own, on their car or something like that. Because first off, the first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And these are the MAGA people that are holding Donald Trump up to be a god. Second is Sabbath. Third is thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And that third one, I would say they take his name in vain every single day because they're really taking the word Christian in vain. Because these are not Christians. They're anti-Christians is what they are. They don't show any Christianity in terms of they're trying to say who Jesus was or God was. But honestly, the Ten Commandments had nothing to do with Christ. Remember the first book was all Old Testament? He didn't come in until that New Testament. Why don't they put up the two, you know, if they're going to do it that way, put up the I'll love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or how about just do unto others as you would do unto you? I mean, those might be some ways that you could actually build it so everybody is included in it rather than doing it the other way.
Tom, you're acting though. I mean, we put this out and stay on the line for a second so you can respond. You're assuming, and I know we're doing this kind of tongue in cheek, that people who want this up there are some kind of, you know, models of morality, and that they themselves have been so influenced by the Ten Commandments and their how it has created such wonder and goodness in their lives that they need to mandate that the government require religious indoctrination, which is another whole issue. But Tom, come on. As you said, this isn't a moral code for them to live by. It's a moral code for us to potentially live by. Tom.
The whole point was the separation between church and state for both, the preservation for both. We can see because of the fact that church and state have come too close together, that's ruining the church. It's ruining all of these different religions. It's making it where it's not even something that people want to belong to anymore. These people are destroying everything that their so-called God, said against. I mean, they got a guy running for president that's broken every 10 commandments. Now, it is true, if you want to have less drama and strife in your life, all those 10 rules, I guarantee you, your life is going to be a lot less stressful and a lot less drama. But I think those are more 10 promises rather than 10 commandments. And I don't know if you saw the video, but it was when they were doing this and that governor was saying what he was saying. The little girl was there, she fell over. She fainted and they didn't even help her.
I saw that, Tom. L.A. Tom, Anya, you didn't see that video clip during the signing of the law behind the governor of Louisiana. You know how they always have a backdrop of people when they're signing laws into. Yeah. You know, so there's a little girl and, you know, just as he's about to sign, she just falls over and passes out.
Goodness.
And the signing table and the entourage doesn't lose a beat. Everybody behind them, though, is trying to tend to this girl. And they're like, so how are these 10 commandments helping you at this moment as a child has potentially passed, not potentially, she did pass out, but could need and require emergency care? Hey, that's not important right now. What's important is getting the camera shot on me signing an unjust, unconstitutional law to require religious indoctrination in our public schools, because the reality is that's what's happening by doing this. I know one of the ways that this is trying to be framed from those who are going, wait, what? It's not what you think. It's not about religion. You have to understand that the Ten Commandments are a foundational document to this country, Anya. They're a foundational document to the law and order system that we have in America. So we're not requiring the use of a biblical text. We're requiring an American founding document, you know, like the Declaration of Independence. So, I mean, that's the passionate plea I have heard from somebody trying to defend this is that, no, this doesn't cross the bounds into religion and the state, because this isn't, and this is what they're saying, this isn't a religious document in a public school, because when you put it up in a public school, it becomes a historical document that helps illustrate the founding of this nation. Therefore, all of you people freaking out that we're going to start indoctrinating kids on the Old Testament and the Jewish Ten Commandments or the King James. No. This is just simply a historical document. Put it right up there with your Constitution, right there with your Magna Carta, right there with your Mayflower Compact, your Ten Commandments. That sounds blasphemous to me.
There's so many things in there that I want to take on. I'll take two up off the top. One, okay. There aren't 10 Jewish commandments. There are 613. So I'd love to know where the wall space for that is being allocated. And a lot of those commandments involve marital relations or how animals' lives are taken, for example. So the kindergarten classroom is going to be wrought with questions when those go up. And I'll also say to the young girl fainting, this is exactly why I think people who haven't actually studied these books shouldn't be writing laws about them, is there is a commandment that is not written in the Ten Commandments that usurps all other commandments, and that is pikuach nefesh. That is to save a life. It doesn't matter if it's Shabbat. Doesn't matter if you're praying. Doesn't matter if someone's hurt, if someone falls ill, if a child faints, they are your first priority. That usurps everything else. So back at it again with the people not knowing what they're talking about, writing laws about it, and me, the Wisconsin Sunday school teacher, just having to yell at the clouds about it. Super fun. Ugh.
Loving that you bring that expertise with us tonight, though, Anya. That's
apparently I need
the,
to bring it to Louisiana,
there.
But...
yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, though, too, we won't talk about it that way, Anya, because it's a historical document.
Right.
It's not a religious document. So remember, as long as we keep it in the boundaries, within the boundaries of historical documents, and don't declare its religiosity, which is kind of going like, well, I don't know how you do that, because that feels like that's, as I said, that feels sinful.
Yeah.
If you're going to take a religious document and just simply classify it as, oh, it's just an American historical document. You know, it's kind of like, you know, common sense. It's kind of like, you know, Beavis and Butthead do America, you know, all those American documents, busted pencils. Yeah. We'll have more when we get back. Yeah, it's the question we ask all the time. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. Do you want the Ten Commandments posted in your school? It's in Louisiana now. Every school, I'm going to assume that they mean starting the school year in the fall, are going to have the Ten Commandments plastered up so that all kids can see them. Hopefully so that we can learn a new sense of morality. Anya, though, for example, though, great take. The Daily Show last night, we got to play the entirety, you know, what are we going to do with the Ten Commandments? Let's hit that tape, please.
Michael, how can Republicans justify religion in public schools?
Whoa. The Ten Commandments aren't religion, all right? Just because they're in the Bible doesn't mean they're religious, okay? The Ten Commandments are universal moral principles that these Louisiana Republicans want everybody to live by, just like their party does.
So they live up to these same moral standards?
Yeah, of course. It's not that hard. Like, you know, thou shalt not kill. Right? Pretty cut and dry. Don't kill anybody. Unless you're standing your ground, you gotta protect yourself. Or if a protester's blocking traffic, I got places I gotta... You know what? Let's forget about this one. It's complicated, so... But look, the rest of these are clear cut.
Sure. Like, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yes. Well, obviously not if it's a porn star and your wife is pregnant. I mean, God is gonna give you that one, but... But fine, Desi, if you're gonna nitpick, let's cross out commit adultery, all right? And if you're gonna have to, if you're gonna commit adultery, you also have to lie about it, so you can't do false witness either. false witness, Ronnie, that's just Bible talk for lying to your wife. But the rest of these are rock solid, all right? And that's why he put them on a rock. Like, number five, okay? Honor thy father and mother. You can't get more moral than that.
Oh, like giving parents maternity leave and universal childcare.
What? No. Not honoring them like that. Honoring them like texting them at 11:55 p.m. on Father's Day. You know what? Let's forget it. There's too much confusion. Let's just cross off number five. All right? And while we're at it, I don't even know what graven image means, so that one's gone. Don't say the Lord's name in vain. I mean, that's just cancel culture, right? So just... Oh, here we go. Look, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We should all take Sundays off. Here we go. Order some Grubhub. Watch the NFL.
It's not Sunday.
Yeah, but delivery drivers can't work on Sundays either, right?
Yeah, I guess no football because you can't play games on Sunday.
All right, look, let's just cut all the chaff out of here, okay? All right? None of this needs... Okay, there we go. There it is. Boom. Perfect.
Yeah, but all you have left is the vow.
Yeah, exactly. This was a nation founded on individual determination. Putting thou self first is the American way.
Well...
Well, we're going to teach him. And if there's one thing...
Oh, yeah. You know, the Ten Commandments. Who knew that the Ten Commandments would get us into a discussion of pronouns? Anya, as you're going through that there, the Torah's definition of adultery is way broader, too.
I'll talk about that super briefly, because it just hit me again as they're talking about Trump, and I was thinking, you're right. Well, I took a course in college. It wasn't through my college, but through a Jewish life thing. And they were like, oh, well, you know, do you guys have questions about, like, what is premarital in the Jewish sense? What are all these things? And we talked about adultery. Adultery in the, like, ancient Judaic Talmudic sense includes things like do not think about somebody else when you're intimate with your partner. If you're intimate with your partner and they don't have a good time, let's phrase it like that, that's not been completed. You've not done all that needs to be done there. Things like, you know, if you coerce someone into it, or if you do any of these things. So there's so many more laws that Jewish scholars, Torahic scholars have discussed from the Genesis point of the Ten Commandments that, again, none of these lawmakers knew about. How are you going to enforce that? And the one about not driving on the Sabbath, this is a real world issue in Israel. It's like, can the buses operate? No, because that means someone has to work. Well, what about the medical professionals who have to get across? This has been a decades long issue in a country that has a government that's okay with religion being part of the government. How, Louisiana? How was this going to work?
Well, because now let's get really at this, though, too, is because understand here to recognize that what this is truly, and I'm going to burst people's bubble here.
Oh, no.
But this is this is an attempt by Christian nationalists, radical Christian nationalists. Not an attempt. They've actually been successful in Louisiana by doing this, taking over the courts. But this is radical Christian nationalism imposing a version, a belief, a history that is purely theirs in their own creation, but in imposing of their Christian nationalistic view on Christianity being the foundation of American government. That's what they're doing here. This is what it's about. Anybody who says, oh, no. It's just a historical document. You know, it's influenced the modern judicial system for years. You know, there's a reason why we want to look at this because it helps us. No. This is indoctrination. This is your indoctrination. This is your Christian nationalist indoctrination. And sorry, it ain't very Christian either, when you start looking at it from that point of view, because, you know, come on, what about the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount? If you want to go all Christian on me, go for it, because I think that could be a very interesting, again, it would absolutely cross the line of the separations of church and state. It would be a problem, and so I would argue that we shouldn't do that there. But if we want to get into proselytizing or trying to get people to behave righteously, then let's throw some Jesus in there and some deeds and things that Jesus said. man, because, you know, you want to go all kind of Christian nationalist on me, Anya. I'm just saying. Like,
oh, I don't want
let's
to.
Let's go there.
I don't want to go no, Christian I know, but nationalist I'm just... on anyone, ever. But I completely agree with you, and it's so hard because that is the whole point of this. There is actually no enforcement of these rules, for better or for worse, because, for example, to quote Jesus, he's got this whole thing at one point. He goes, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was naked, you clothed me. Yeah. When I, you know, all these things, when I needed something, you provided because I was mm-hmm. needy. And that is really at the core of it, what his sermons and his life was about. Whether you believe in that as a religion or you've studied it as a historical possibility, it was about service. And so to enact the service of hanging up a picture of the commandments, but Louisiana kids are going hungry with no lunch, no breakfast. Mm. Louisiana kids right. are unhoused. There are Louisiana mm-hmm. kids who are in homes where, you know, maybe they're trying to honor their father and their mother, but their father or their mother is not honoring that that child has the right to not be hurt or has the right to a safe home. This isn't the venue for it. And it's just very disappointing as someone who is religious, who does believe that parts of this are really meaningful and really good ways to live your life. That doesn't mean you print it out on a poster and put it up. You behave in such a way that people go, wow, that person's doing good deeds. I wonder what they're all about. And then later on you tell them, oh, I'm all about this, or I'm all about that guy, or I'm all about this, not through posters, through a movement, through action.
You put it forward, though, too, behavior. And that's the other thing that's at the root of this. Because first of all, behavior for who? Not for me, not for me. I mean, I'm sorry. What was I supposed to do? You know, I mean, you know, if Trump or all, but yeah, first of all, people that are mandating this too, it's also what they want too, is a very controlled population, people that are subdued and follow those, you know, what do you want to call them? Commandments? No, but this is also that. This is the, look, the people need rules. We don't, the rulers.
Right.
The people need rules. We think these rules, well, particularly in our form, I'm going to go back to this, our form of Christianity, which, guess what? If you want to have a form of Christianity, that's the beautiful thing about this country. You can.
Oh, yeah.
You're perfectly allowed. You know, you can have your Christianity and you can do it. You don't, if you don't like my Christianity, that's okay too. That's why the two of us are not going to compete with each other to see which Christianity is going to be inflicted upon the masses. Well, I would think more like yours is going to be inflicted on the masses. If I had any form of the Jesus I grew up knowing, as you said, Anya, whoa, the world would look a lot different right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things, you know, as you just said, the whole idea of a hungry child, we know they're hungry. We know we have food. In fact, a bunch of these Christian nationalists who have passed this type of law are also the ones in support of doing away with free lunches for kids that are hungry, literally putting in place policy that denies food to the hungry. Sorry, that ain't Christian. Ain't nothing about that's Christian. And maybe that's your kind of weird Christian nationalism, but not feeding those who are hungry. Hey, not feeding anybody, right? The reality.
Truly.
But the fact is that there are children every day in this country, in American public schools, that rely on food that comes through the free lunch program. And the idea that there are Republican Christian nationalists that are trying to outlaw, actually get rid of the free lunch program, because that creates laziness on you. If you give kids food, they're never going to learn to work hard to pull themselves out of the poverty that's making them hungry.
Right, right. I remember when I was overseas and I was at the Sea of Galilee and they were like, this is where Jesus fed a couple people with fish and they all became so lazy that no one ever worked. No, that wasn't the story, actually. He fed them a bunch of fish and everybody went on with their day and their life a little bit fuller and with a bit more pep in their step because they'd had a meal that day that they otherwise wouldn't have. Yeah, it is truly confounding to look at the source material here, especially for them to dip into the Old Testament, which is largely not theirs to be you guys got freed from a lot of that book with the new book. You're good. Yeah. You don't have to do all the stuff we do. And frankly, guys, be happy about it because it's hard. There's a lot of commandments for us. But it's crazy to look at the source material and see, oh, and this is what you're doing with it? This is nothing. It's cruel. Mm-hmm. It's unusual. It's certainly not the kindness and helpfulness that was preached in it. It is really nothing mm-hmm. like the original.
Well, because come on, you know, I grew up too very much, you know, Byzantine Catholic, learned, went and did everything. And there was nothing in my religious education that said anything other than, Jesus was a social justice warrior and the dude was woke.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He was a social justice warrior and woke. So you don't like that guy? Okay.
And you can go further then with it too.
This is,
you know,
yeah,
he was
go
a
ahead,
social,
keep going further.
He was a social justice warrior who was murdered by the state. The Romans killed him. Right. Or, you know, you talk about, I don't want to take it too far, but truly nothing about this story lines up with their politics. And that's what's so gut wrenching about it for me.
It's gut wrenching. And I said, go back to realizing why it's there.
Yep.
A few texts came in. Pat from Watertown. He's saying you guys should play a Pledge of Allegiance from something else. And he uses a bad word. We can't say that. Jim from Appleton, they're saying in no uncertain terms, I am in charge. Rules are for thee, but not for me, because someone has to be the Godhead. Yeah, Jim. And then Mark from the SAC, I've read in various sources that it was blasphemous to call God by any name, not to mention that in some Jewish texts that Yahweh had a wife named Asherah. Anya, I'm going to let you verify.
Well, I can't speak to the wife. We do have this idea that God has this feminine part. And yes, one of the words for God is Hashem, meaning the name rather than saying a name, because the one that you've just read off is very, very holy. So a lot of people don't use it. But it is to say, yeah, different strokes, different folks, and it doesn't line up with what Louisiana is trying to do.
And that's the thing. It's not going to, because we know, really, you said it, we've revealed it here on Busted Pencils, what Louisiana is trying to do. That is Christian nationalistic indoctrination. That's what it is. And that's why we're pushing against it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Yeah, when we get back, give us a call. Talk about it. What religion should be in the schools? Me? None. When we get back. Oh, there it is. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. It is. But hey, thank God. Can we say that?
Oh, that don't take the Lord's name in vain in Louisiana. You're right. Thank goodness it's Busted Pencils Friday. Thank goobness.
Thank goobness. Thank the flying spaghetti monster.
That's who.
Busted Pencils Friday. Okay. And you know, and that is one to be thinking about. Okay, here's the other part of this. Really? Because if we are going to go where the Christian nationalists are going to go, then open the doors to the religions. And in fact, one of my favorite bloggers, Peter Green, put out a piece today, really cautioning, particularly saying, like, look, you know, you will really want to go down this way, because truly then everything's included. Everything's included. And you know what? You aren't going to like some of the things that are included, because guess who's already starting to file the motions? This Church of Satan now wants its religious documents put up. And well, why not? Right?
And they keep winning. Church of Satan's done this before with, hey, if you're going to put the statue of like Jesus giving kids something, we get our statue of Baphomet. And, I don't always agree with what the Church of Satan does, but they are proving their point very thoroughly.
Yeah. Another text from Jim. No, their Jesus is Republican Jesus, prosperity for all true believers. What? You're not wealthy? you don't believe strongly enough. Grab them bootstraps and get cracking, Jim. That's the thing too. Yeah. So why have I not succeeded the way some of the Betsy DeVos billionaire, who really has been dropping a lot of money on this religious imposition in the public schools, which is, yeah, guess what though? At what point, you know, and here's the thing, history sometimes can be very long. Sometimes it can be very radical, but at some point, those that you disagree with will get in charge sometime. And see, this is the whole idea, and this is the kind of sadness that I see happening now is that when we get in power, we're going to take away everything. You know, we're coming for revenge. We're in that weird state, and I'm not advocating that, but at some point, this is why trying to advocate for the separation, the freedom of religion. You get your freedom. You get your freedom. You get your freedom. That's what you fight for. You don't fight for the imposition of your religion. You can't, because at some point, somewhere along the line, someone is going to fight for the imposition of their religion. And I know right now, you know, you're sitting there going, we ain't got nothing to worry about because we're fully in charge. We got the Supreme Court. I know you do. But at a time, you're not going to. And what we don't want to do is set the road then for, you know, the opposite kind of coming in and saying, now it's our turn to deal out the oppression. Because, yeah, that's what this is. All of this imposed Christian nationalism, this is what it is. This is an attack on my freedom, on my neighbor's freedom, because we're allowed, and in fact, we came, and ancestors came to this country, and even the pilgrims, the pilgrims were Christians. Yes, they were, and they practiced a really crazy form of Christianity at the time that the King of England decided they were not allowed, and they left. So yes, you know, like, Tim, don't give me that story about the pilgrims, because you're acting as if they would have came in and wanted a woke Jesus. I didn't say they wanted a woke Jesus. I'm saying they were oppressed for the religion that they practiced, and they had to get out of the town, had to come here to set up. And so this idea of freedom of religion, if you're a religious person, you want that protected. You do not want that shattered, because that is something sacred that you do on Sunday or Friday or Wednesday, whenever you and your family and your people who do these things, you Flying Spaghetti Monster people, whenever you want to do what you want to do, you are free to do that. And I do not have the ability to bring you into a public school and try to take that out of you, because that's the other part in here too, because there's an evangelistic side of this, which is to say, the reason we're also doing this is because we want to impose our Christianity on the masses, our Christianity. And guess what that Christianity is? And sorry, this is what we're going to do with the Christian nationalist Christianity, which is those of you beneath us, shut up, pay attention, do what you're told. And if you're not getting the same things I'm getting, that's because you are a failure. God, come back to God. You know, yeah, Jim, you were right there, man. I don't know. I could get wound up on this one on you.
It's a big topic, and I'm nodding along because I agree. It's horrifying. And again, I don't think they know what a Pandora's box they've opened. It's not to say that, like, accommodating other religions is time consuming, but I think that what they've opened themselves up to here, if they're going to keep it constitutional, is a lot of ruckus, because a school is supposed to be a school. There's a reason we kept these things separate. And if we're going to not keep it separate, I don't know how we're meant to accommodate some people praying five times a day, some people praying three times a day, seven different lunch options, all these different things. Except that they're not going to do that. They're only going to accommodate the Christian kids. And that's really heartbreaking, because I know there's kids in the South who practice other religions, including atheism and agnosticness, who are suffering because of this. They should be able to focus on school, and instead they're being hit with questions about a much bigger issue they don't have time for.
They don't have time for. And so, come on, Louisiana. But who's next? We know there's going to be somebody next. Busted Pencils Friday. Yeah. You know, thank goodness, as we're going to say from now on.
Yeah.
Because I got my 10 commandments hanging up right here in front of me in my home studio. And we are not going to take the Lord's name in vain on this show on Fridays anymore. It's thank goodness it's Busted Pencils Friday. Yeah. And I tell you what, too, we got a great week coming up. Looking forward to it. Arizona. Yeah, Arizona's been in the news. You want to talk about vouchers gone wrong? Yeah, we're going to be talking about it. And now, as we take off, too, don't forget, check out the Minocqua Brewing Company. Remember, they sponsor Busted Pencils. They make America and beer great again. Check out Minocqua Brewing Company. And everybody, hey, mostly anyway, find some way to stay cool this weekend because, man, it's coming. Appreciate all, everybody. Have a great day. And may the goodness bless all of you. Busted Pencils out.